Hello. Welcome to my first podcast on helping children heal from emotional trauma through play. I'm so glad that you joined me today. My passion and my mission is to create tools to help children heal from emotional trauma so they can be all that they are meant to be. They can be the child and enjoy being a child, playing and living their life and thriving. To grow up dreaming, wishing, and coming to realize that they can be, and beyond that, all that they desire to be. You know that there are 2 billion children around the world who have experienced emotional trauma due to violence, war, abuse. This is data from the World Health Organization. Child Health Organization reports that every 10 seconds there is a report of maltreatment in the United States. Maltreatment is defined by the CDC as child abuse or neglect, bullying, and human trafficking. 5 children die per day due to abuse and maltreatment in the United States. 40,000 children receive chemotherapy and radiation per year. You know, every time I see a St. Jude public service announcement and I hear the children talk about their fears, one young lady stands out in particular. She tells how every night before she went to sleep, she would cry. She'd cry herself to sleep because she was afraid she would not wake in the morning. That indeed is emotional trauma. Wondering whether or not they will live until tomorrow. You know, when I got into this passion, I was working in public health. And part of my caseload were abnormal children. They were NICU children that had either a major anomaly at birth, trauma. When I say a traumatic birth, the child had a lot of issues and had to go through a lot of surgery just to survive. Other children that were on my caseload were actually referred by Child Protective Services. And one family in particular stuck out. And there were 5 children. And they had called and asked if I would go and do an assessment and make whatever referrals for these children, and that DPS would be paying for it. So I went on my visit, and my initial assessment, every child was bruised from the top of the head to the bottom of their feet. The 6-month-old could not sit. Even if you had a pillow behind, the child would still fall over. The child. They call it developmental delay. An 18-month-old could not pull himself to a standing position, or could he walk? He had difficulty actually crawling. Again, there were deficits in the 3-year-old, the 4-year-old. The 8-year-old seemed fairly normal, but she did have some issues, but we felt that we could handle those fairly easily. I contacted physical therapy and occupational therapy for them to come and do an assessment and see if they couldn't set up a plan to help the children essentially eliminate those who developmental delays. And we would go every week. We would team up to go up to out to see the children and work with them. Now, part of the problem is whenever you have a child that is being battered, that oftentimes once we are in the home, they become very uncomfortable because we're on the alert if we see anything new happening to the child. And so oftentimes they will up and leave. And 6 months after we had started working with the children, we went back for a weekly visit and they were all gone. We contacted Child Protective Services, and they right away found the child in another the children in another state. And right away started services for them there. And the children again then disappeared. About 6 weeks after that, they gave me a call, and it was a courtesy call to let me know, give me an update about the children. Four of the children had died, the father had killed them, and the fifth one was in intensive care, and they did not expect the child to die. They expected the child to die. And indeed, the child did not live but two more days. And I was devastated because we had worked to remove the developmental delays, but we could not protect this child, any of these children, from the fate that ended their life. And I always wanted to create something, a way so the children could alert us whenever they were in trouble, so we could get them out, something to help the children heal. But in addition to that, just to help them heal from the emotional trauma so that they could be normal children again and laugh and play and do all the things that children do. So I decided to create a heart, and I call it the mending heart. And on the one side is the broken heart, because the children feel when they can talk to us, they feel broken. We talk to them about how if they come every day and see the counselor and work, that eventually that heart would actually heal. And you know, it might have a little scar, because we all go through storms in life. And whenever we have a cut, when we fall, we have a scar. But you know, that scar does not make us weaker. Makes us stronger. And that is what I wanted to impart to the children. And it also would give an opportunity for the child, for the therapist and the child to communicate better. The broken heart side was such that the children, if they wanted to draw a picture, or if they wanted to write it, what their fears were, whatever they wanted to do, they could put inside the heart and bring it in to the counselor. The other thing was, they could also, the counselor could work out a system to where if the child was in trouble and they needed help, they could create their own secret language so the therapist would be able to know that they needed help. When I created the heart, then I created three toys for the heart to be housed in the heart space. A robot and a bear and a dinosaur. And they're soft and plush because I wanted them to have something that they could hug. And whenever they felt it, it would feel soft and nurturing to that child. So hence the mending me came about. Because the reality for each and every child, and frankly for all of us, is that the way we heal is that we heal ourselves. We have an innate spirit that was given to us at birth. It's lodged in our heart somewhere, in our soul. And if we can let go of all the anger and the anguish and the hurt, and let that heart be open to bring in the love, the nurturing, so that they can heal. They will heal. If you notice, there's some children, if they have a normal, loving family, that when they go through a flood, an earthquake, any kind of traumatic event, those children seem to do well because the parents aren't flustered. They have a plan in place whenever there is an emergency. They are very loving to the children. And the children Actually, it's just an event to them. But think about the times when we weren't prepared and we had an event that disrupted our lives and just kind of threw us off balance. And we didn't handle it really well. I know each and every one of us have had one. The most current one for me was when my husband died. You may have one where your child was so ill and you got to worry about, are they going to live till tomorrow? You may have been in a war and lost an arm or a leg. You may have had a child born that had a major anomaly or a defect. You may have experienced violence from a relative or a friend or someone that you trusted as a child. In looking at all of the data, there's very few of us, if any, that has not had some type of trauma in our lives. You and I are adults and we have abstract thinking. Whereas children, they're reliant upon us to help them through. And so, as therapists or parents or law enforcement or medical providers, psychologists, psychiatrists, whomever, teachers, counselors at school, our role is to help them have that innate spirit so they can be resilient. Because none of us, no child will ever make it through life without some kind of a storm. It may be when they're a teenager, whenever they lose their first boyfriend. It may be when they're 6 years old and their mommy or daddy die, or their grandparents. It may be that they were in a bad accident and had major trauma. So each of us can help children by helping them have that innate spirit always front and center. There's all kinds, and I just described a few of them, of events that can cause emotional trauma. As I shared with you, maltreatment, acts of terrorism, war, human trafficking, bullying, cyberbullying, as well as face-to-face bullying, catastrophic illnesses, diseases, genetic diseases, trauma, loss of family or loved ones. Maybe a child's babysitter or teacher or Sunday school teacher, aunt or uncle that they were very close to. Military separation. Whenever a parent goes off to a remote assignment, and oftentimes it's in a war zone. And the parent comes back and they're missing a part of their body, or they've had a traumatic brain injury, or there's just been a lot of traumatic events while they were there and they come back with PTSD. They're not the parent that the child knew when they left. Law enforcement and EMS and fire all have essentially the same kind of issues. Because they are all dealing with events out of their control. And bad things can happen to where the child could all of a sudden be without a parent or their parent is injured. And they experience emotional trauma. Natural disasters, flood, earthquakes, tornadoes, just to name a few. Natural disasters, fire, explosions due to chemicals, wildfires, shootings at school, robberies. All kinds of things can happen that can change an individual's life in a heartbeat. So, my passion is to help children so they can become the resilient healers of themselves that reside in them. So they can be healthy, thriving, and achieving their dreams and the potential that they have within them and beyond. That we can, as a result of this, reduce or eliminate high incidences of chronic illness and mental disease that's due to emotional trauma. Can you imagine being able to live a life of play and enchantment, learning? Because we're all there to help them learn, we teach them to stay away from fires and what have you. But it can be more than that. Their horizons will be expanded. And the less stress and the more that they can tap into their innate spirit, the more that they can survive a storm and thrive. And then we have an adult population that is healthy. Imagine the reduction of cost so that we can use that, defer that to other things. We have to start at the child level. It's important we help adults as well. But my focus is on helping children so that when the adults are adults, they won't have the chronic illnesses that they experience because of the trauma. When I was creating my toys, I used to go to this one beauty shop, and I would share with them, because I've written some books as well, and I was sharing with them that I was soon to get some of the toys that I had created. And one of the young men who washed my hair, he was studying to be a stylist, said to me after he finished, he said, he's 17. He said, "I just hope that you don't forget about us." And it made me realize that this young man had been abused as a youth. And I also realized that, when I was creating this, I was really thinking of this younger child. But the older child, teenager, I know they don't like to be called children anymore, or adolescent, truly need our help as well. They're still children, and they can still tap into their inner spirit. But we have to, again, provide the tools so they can let go of all the anguish and the anger and the hurt. Because it's been building each year. And if we do that again, this child will get to become all that they want to truly be and beyond. There was a young lady that at the time, she was, I believe, six. And her grandfather that lived close by was diagnosed with cancer. Now, her grandfather, who lived several states over, 6 months later, was diagnosed with cancer. Three months prior to this grandfather being diagnosed, her mom was diagnosed with cancer. So now she's almost eight, and she is devastated and scared to death that her mommy's going to die. 6 months after the second grandfather was diagnosed with cancer, the first grandfather died. A year later, her second grandfather died. Her mommy wasn't getting any better. Her mommy was quite ill. And so now she's having a great anxiety because she's afraid mommy is definitely going to die. So she started writing notes in her dinosaur. She chose a dinosaur. And every note would say, "I'm afraid my mommy is not going to live. My mommy is going to die." And she'd have 10 notes just like that in her dining room when she would take it to the counselor each day at school. And mommy didn't get, they had to do surgery on her mom. And so she became even more anxious. And she, by this time, is in therapy, but it's not helping because mommy hasn't gotten well yet. Mommy's having surgery. So she starts having anxiety attacks in class and being very disruptive. Therapist decided that she would talk to the teacher and have her just put the dinosaur, Dino, on her desk and see if that would not help. And she talked to the child and said, "You know, whenever Dino, whenever you start getting upset, you can't play with Dino, but how? You pull Dino out from your knapsack and put Dino on your desk." And so she started doing that. And instantly, the anxiety would go away. It's important that whatever tool will help this child heal, that we have it, and that we let go of trying to get the child to relive the trauma, talking about why they're anxious. Because essentially, what we're doing is forcing them to relive the trauma again. What we want them to do is to play so that in the play, they're going to express their feelings. They're going to talk out loud. An example of that is there was a young man that he was 9 or 10. He had been abused. And he stopped talking. He had seen several counselors. I think it was three or four before he came upon this counselor that had just so happened to have some of my toys. And he immediately went to the robot. And he was holding it and he pulled the heart out. And the therapist told him a story about how Robbie had been having a really hard time, and that he had come to the therapist, and she showed him the heart, and she showed him the broken side, and she said, "When he came, this is how he felt his was, that it was broken." But he's able to just play and talk, and that over time, she turned it over to the mending side and said he started healing. And told him the story again about how a scar does not mean that that's a weak spot, that he would be just as strong, if not stronger. And so the young man took the Robbie, the robot, and went over and started playing. And when she did the explanation, he did not talk. He did not even acknowledge that she was talking to him. But he held the heart in his hand and he went over. She said that about 10 minutes into his play, he started talking aloud to the robot. And he carried on a conversation. And then in about 45 minutes of play, he walked to the therapist and carried the toy and put the heart on the mending side and said he's feeling much better now. We really want our children to feel much better now. Will this toy be the only tool that will heal every child? Absolutely not. There has to be all kinds of tools for play. Some children love to just write a story, draw, paint, dance, sing, play a musical instrument. It may be a guitar, it may be a piano, it may be a drum. It may be finger painting, it may be using pastels, it may be charcoal, it may be pencil. But it's important, whatever it is, that we utilize these tools so the children can then communicate how they're feeling, and we help them just let go of all this anguish. We can help them allowing them to chat, but we can also teach them about meditation and other things that they can use to help them. So whenever there is problems or issues, that they can use tools. They can journal. They can listen to music. They can meditate. If they're, small children as well as large children and adults can do simple exercises, breathing techniques. But it's what we're wanting to focus on is getting them to heal and letting go of processes that we think is going to heal. And we're, it's interesting that I've been looking at some of the history of psychology. And even in the 1920s, and I'm right off the top of the head cannot think of the psychologist's name, but his comment was that we have created processes and essentially busy work, but we're really not healing people. And the reality is, you and I cannot heal people. What we can do is help them heal themselves by utilizing play so they can let go of their anguish and the anger. And we help them just hang it on a tree, write it down, and then throw it away. And when they're throwing it away, it's away forever. And that they are perfect just the way they are. We just have to let go of their thoughts and feelings, the anguish, the hurt, the anger, the walls that they've built to protect themselves, so that they can let nurturing and love come in. I thank you for joining me today, and I look forward to our next visit. Talk with you next week. Again, thank you. Have a nice day.